Hi dear movie breakers, here I am still at Locarno with a new interview for you. This time it's about the Piazza Grande film Irkalla, Gilgamesh's Dream, and I'm sitting here with director Mohamed Jawara Al-Darachi. Hello Mohamed.
Hello, how are you?
Still very, very hot, but maybe you're used better to warm temperatures than I am. You're presenting your film at the Piazza Grande, which is the big feature film section, the second biggest section. Your story is at the borderline of documentary and drama. Would you like to talk about how you developed this film and its story?
The story itself has been developed since 6 years from now. It came from a simple idea. I saw it. Documentary about a woman driving a bus and collecting homeless children to teach them in her bus. I love this idea, and I start to develop double English deck bus driving on the street of Baghdad and collecting children and teach them like a mobile school. Meeting those children that you saw in the film, because I saw a lot of them and I know some of them, but they are already in the orphanage place in Baghdad. Also, I cast from the orphanage place in Baghdad. Some of the children you have them in the film, they are really living in the orphanage.
Did you cast the kids part from the orphanage, part from the street?
So them from the orphanage.
And are there any professional actors among the younger characters of the film?
All the actors in the film, they are non-professional. Like Maryam, the main character, the driver, she's non-professional. Gilgamesh, he's not professional. Chamcham, the main child, not professional. Modi, not professional. All the children, they are non-professional actors. They never act in their life. This is the first time they act in front of the camera. So it took me about a year to work hard with them, to develop it step by step. Modi is the son of my sister. He was always jumping in front of me and want to that I cast him. And I say, I don't want to cast family because making headache. And then he shaved his head, come to me and said, I'm ready.
How difficult or maybe easy was it to work with them since they had no acting experience and maybe also were not used on these very strict timetables that we often associate with acting, a lot of discipline, a lot of repetition?
It's very complicated. To work with a child is complicated. Any child, as a professional or not. But to work with non-professional, first-time act, to understand the responsibility that he has, to understand that he has a job to do, it was not easy. It's like you are teaching your own child. It's like you're teaching about life, about everything. Because we spend the day from the morning until the evening with the children. And I have experience with children to make it like a game. You know, gym, do, dance, die, sport. I'll make him play football. I let him run. I let him draw. I let him watch a film, doing entertainment, fight, doing all of this kind of thing as part of the game. But the good thing, they are by nature. They picked it up like that. They start to develop it. For example, one of the scene on the film, you see Modi giving Chamcham Iraqi not dinar. That written, drawn on the top of it, Lamaso. I never know about that. I never give attention. The Chamcham discovered it and he called me and he said to me, do you know the Lamaso that's in our film? It is in the note in Iraqi, 50 dinars. So, oh my God, this is amazing. I'm going to use it in the film. So they help you to develop the story, to develop the character with them.
That's a very interesting point. How much influence did they actually have on the characters that you Bill, did you sketch the characters out before or did you change a lot because the input of the children?
I changed because of I have the foundation. I write the dialogue, but I let them say their own dialogue. But this is always with non-professional actors. You don't give them, you give them the guidance. It's not like professional actors. You give them the dialogue and he's following and he's created and he's giving everything. It will need you to make them work with you. That's the beauty of working with non-professional actors. But it's difficult because each take could be different.
The film takes place in Baghdad and the settings are essential to the story. We see so many sides of Baghdad that we probably have never seen in that way on screen because most people, I think, are very limited, very stereotypical view of Baghdad, me probably too, which is basically shaped by US media, by US American films, by many very stereotypical war films who are not even actually shot in Baghdad, but you shot right on site. How did you find those locations? Did you go scouting or did you pass them at some point in your life and make notes of these?
Is it not beautiful Baghdad in the film or not?
It's very exciting.
That's the real Baghdad. That's the Baghdad, we like it, we see it. Have the water go through it and put it like two half. It is, I know all the location. I go every day. This is where I live, by next to the river. where I work next to the river, where I go crossing the bridge every day, every single scene need to be happen around close to the river. So you see the children living by the river, you see Maryam living by the river, you see the riots happen by the river, you see the sheikh by the, everything around the river. And those location, I see it and I try to portray it from my own perspective, from my own vision.
How was it to shoot in all these locations? It also looks very rough. Was it easy to assess with the camera team or did you have a very small team?
I had about 35 people, small team. We were very safe. I cut off all this bridge. I stopped, make traffic jam in the whole Baghdad because this is the center, the heart of Baghdad. The bridge is the point.
Ah, so if people were in a traffic jam that day, they
the crazy Al Daraji is making shooting. It's not the first time. Always I cut off traffic jam, didn't do all of that. But I organized with the police. Every 1 hour or 2 hours, I have 10 minutes to shoot. So imagine sometimes you cut off and then there's a car break it. And then we lost it. That's why it took me 109 days to shoot this film.
Yeah, that sounds very stressful to just have 10 minutes and have to rush there, do it, and then wrap it up again.
Yeah, sometimes we go to the location, we didn't shoot everything. And I go back again, shoot it. Sometime I ended shooting one shot. I had 45 days of shooting only CGI and VFX for the Lamas or for the protests. And so I need to time it right with my team to build it right. Same lighting, same place, same location, same things. So it was really details how we were doing it.
An essential point of the story is, of course, also this legend of Irkalla, which is the Sumerian underworld.
Mm-hmm.
And the Gilgamesh epos, I think the Gilgamesh epos is the oldest written story that humanity knows. What does this epos mean to you? When did it come into your life?
We are very strong with our identity and our history. My second film is called Son of Babylon. So it's about a child with his grandmother coming from north in Iraq, going to the south, searching for his father that was missing in the war. And through his journey, he wanted to go to the Babylon to see the Hanging Garden of Babylon. So the child, the actor, he was also not a professional. I took him to Babylon to see the gate of Babylon in Iraq and to see the place and all of that. When the film was shown in Berlin Film Festival in 2010, I took him to the museum in Berlin to see the real gate of Babylon.
Babylon Museum.
And I had the German ambassador in Iraq. He came with me, the Iraqi ambassador, the head of the museum. They walk because the film was very important. And the child stood and looked at the gate of Babylon. But I saw this one in Babylon there. And the one there is, it looks like not real. I said to him, yeah, the one in Babylon is a fake. This is the real one. I said to him, you liar to me. You say to me, this is the gate of Babylon, because I told him, I didn't want to tell him it's a fake gate in Babylon because he need to believe in it in the film. So he was angry with me because he discovered in the museum in Berlin that the real gate of Babylon is here and the gate in Babylon, in the Babylon in Iraq, is a fake one. Now, since our childhood, we know about our history and about the route of to Sumerian, to Gilgamesh. One of the elements that I wanted in the film when I came with the idea and developed it, education. They teach us in the school. They teach us Arabic, math, science, and history. History about Babylon, about Sumerian, about Gilgamesh, the Epic of Gilgamesh, the first story we've written. I didn't have the Lamassum on the film. And then step by steps, I start to develop it more and I start to link it. What is the chapter of Gilgamesh? Gilgamesh stopped in chapter 11. Chapter 12 is called The Dream of Gilgamesh. That Gilgamesh wished to go to Arkala to bring his Enkidu out from Arkala. So this is linked to my character because my character has wished to go to the under the water to bring his parents back. So I can link it to Gilgamesh. And then I ended having Gilgamesh on the street of Baghdad coming in 2019, but he don't talk.
We also see the main character Chum Chum watch an animated series. And I wondered, is that something that you created for the film or does it actually exist? Is it an actual Iraqi TV series or maybe an old children's film?
No, I created for this. Title of the film called Arkala, Dream of Gilgamesh. The TV series called Arkala, Dream of Gilgamesh. So I mix it basically. I create it as one of the fiction things. I try to have it for the character to guide him. Of course, we have a lot of animation for about Sumerian, about Gilgamesh, but not the way how I want. I tried to reuse some of it, but I ended up saying, no, we create from zero. We went to the costumes of Gilgamesh. We study it. We study how giant, we study every details. Took us very, this 3 minutes that you have took us 1 year to to do it. They paint it into all of this kind of thing for the animation.
It really looks like those old 90s TV series that you would always watch on Sunday.
That's right. That's the idea, is to make it very old and authentic.
An important theme of the film is how teenagers and the young boys get recruited for the military and also for radicalized groups like ISIS, sometimes the very same groups that made them orphans in the first place. What does this political problem mean to you, and how do you see the future of Iraq, where the past always seems to catch up and history repeat itself?
It's a very good question. By Iraqi constitutions, by Iraqi law, often children, street children, they are the son and the daughter of the state. The government is the response of looking after those children. If you bring me a child and you put it with a good family, they look after him and they protect him and they educate him, they give him good health, he become a good civilian. It's a very important message, because one of the sad things, I went after ISIS being defeated in Iraq in 2018, I went to the prison for women. The prison, there is more than 1,000 children from ISIS. Those children, not only Iraqis, foreigners, Germans, Belgium, and they live there in the prison. They didn't do anything in their life. They didn't choose to be the children of ISIS member. They're a victim. We shouldn't put those children in the prison. Give them the possibility to feel safe. Because imagine if you show those children that you are the state, the government, the institutions, the system is to protect them, give them a good feeling. Let them not feel ashamed that they are part of this ISIS. They become a good human being. They will help the society to grow up. Because the child did not choose to be the son or the daughter of you or me. So when they come to life, we should try to protect them. But if we don't give them a chance to be educated, it's a dream of any people coming from a country that did not give them protection to civilians. Why have somebody from Middle East or Africa or Asia come to the Northern Europe is coming for a good life, because they didn't find a good life where they are. They didn't felt safe. They didn't felt protected. They didn't felt good health, good education, respected, and freedom. Those elements that will help somebody from Iraq, from beautiful weather, go with all the respect to Sweden, to the north of Sweden or to the Norwich, and this cold place, and you don't see the sun, and they live. I know, I met these people, I saw them. But I'm asking myself, my God, grown up and studying Iraq and come there. It's the same when I go to Australia or to America and I hear Iraqi talking. It's, what they are doing here? I don't understand why they are refugee or running away. It's okay, immigrant is part of humanity. The human being is always like immigrant, because we are stringent in this planet. But at least you stay in your place and you grow up and you think about it and develop yourself and you develop your nation. So that's what I try to portray.
At the moment, now we all hear in the media that the conflict in the Middle East due to the USA and Israel is burning up again. How do you feel about that? And do you think that there can ever be like peace or future?
Very angry, very angry, very sad. I couldn't believe that in 2025, we have this massacre, genocide that happened in Gaza. It's 2 million people living in 48 kilometer square, do this war by a dictator like Benjamin Netanyahu, kill those people and make these people starve, throw it the whole city, the whole life of those people. I don't understand it. I really don't understand how this happened. It happened in the Second World War. We saw this image, or the war between Iraq and Iran, or the 2000 war with the American destroyed Iraq. But in 2025, we still have this image coming from Middle East, and we don't do anything about it. This is very sad. I'm very sad to say that. One of the reasons that make me run away from Iraq and come to Holland to live is for health, education, and safety, and freedom. And I have that. And this beautiful country, Holland, give me this status. Give me the chance to study and to discover who I am and to teach me about to be a good citizen. I am here because of this part of my life. I was thinking the European, the Western value of human rights, this value after October 2023 and what I saw is broken. I'm not believing this anymore. I'm sorry to say that we as a human being, we give status to the dog, to the animal, to the plant, to the environment. We have 2 million people. They were killed and starving 2 days ago, 3 days ago, a footballer, Palestinian footballer. They call him the Belay of Palestine. He's a famous footballer. He was killed because he was in the queue, tried to bring food to his children that live in the tent, that their house been destroyed, that they had been moved 20 times by the Israeli army. Of course, they are not fighting Hamas. This is bullshit. This is Israeli government and Israeli army. They make a joke about themselves. And this Germany, what they are doing now is, in Holland, we call it Palachlik, in Dutch language. Palachlik is the, I can laugh from the German government. Well, they don't want to do anything. They're supporting the Israeli blindly, the Israeli government. I'm not talking about Israeli people. I'm talking about Israeli government. They support them blindly. They support them in the weapon. They support them in everything blindly. What happened in the Second World War is all of us, and all of us doesn't want to have it again. And it happened again. And there is civilians being children being killed. A journalist being shot in front of us and nothing happened. So that's make us angry. And I dedicate my film to the children of war. If me doesn't do anything, a Christian doesn't do anything, you are not doing anything, who's going to do it? This extremely right wing in Israel, ruling the country, is damaging the whole region. And we saw this problem. I was coming from Lishman where I was doing the post-production. I want to see my children in Baghdad. I was about to fly. The war between Iran and Israel for 12 days happened. There is no fly. We can't fly. I was stuck in Saudi because I was supposed to go. I couldn't move anywhere. And at 12 days stuck, I couldn't see my children, was frustrated and all of that. Luckily, Gino from Locarno called me in these days and said, I love your film. I want to take it and all of this kind of thing. Gino, I said, man, this is very good news in the middle of the sadness and the craziness, what's going on in the end of this kind of thing. We need to do something. And you guys in Germany are doing very bad compared with the rest of Europe, compared with the Belgium, with the Spanish, with the British and what they try to do, with the Norwegian. I'm going to be honest. So let me get very angry.
Okay, I understand it.
And
just one more question. Do you have now projects for a new film?
Yes, I do have. It's, I'm writing a story about 1932, 1958 and 2003. It's about the journey of a woman, grandmother living in the desert in Iraq.
So that sounds also very interesting. We certainly will keep an eye on that. As soon as Ilkala Gilgamesh's Dream gets a German release, you hear about it at Movie Break. And I say thank you so much for this interview.
Thank you for having me with you.